Welcome back to Community Connections. I'm Alan Collier, and we have... Well, I pushed the wrong button. Thanks, Greg. Cindy, how are you?
I'm very well, Alan.
Sorry, somebody plays with this knob in here, which I have no right to do, and I keep getting just expected to be there, and I expect you to be there, but it just didn't work. First of all, Cindy, I've got to say happy birthday. I believe it's your birthday today.
Oh, that's very well done. Yes, it is. Thank you very much, Alan.
That's terrific. We're not going to ask you any more other than to say, I've got to ask you this. How are you going to celebrate it tonight?
Well, interesting that you should ask. It's a question everyone's asking. I've got a 9 o'clock hockey game at Mentone.
You're kidding.
No, it's the first game back for the season for midweek veterans, or masters, I think we call it.
I was going to say, you're not a veteran.
You've got to be over 35. You've got to be over 35, and I'm over 35. I'm happy to admit that.
That's a bit of
it. It's the first game back, and it just happens to be
on your birthday.
So I don't want to miss the first game back. It just happens to be my birthday, but that's okay.
Cindy, I've got to ask you, first of all, how far does where you play? I mean, I'm surprised because you live up, you know, in towards Yay Way, and so that's a long way to play. So what's the furthest you have to go to play?
Oh, look, could be Footscray, could be Peninsula. We're going to play in Mornington coming up. And it depends on, you know, which teams you're in. But most people have to travel. It's kind of like, you know, community sport. It doesn't matter. You still got to travel. And with hockey, it's fairly organised that there's like one or two competitions in metropolitan Melbourne. It's all organised through Hockey Victoria.
Right.
So, you know, they've got this relegation, promotion, whatever. But, you know, if I play Wednesday nights, and I'll miss the occasions because it'll be too far.
Yeah.
But often if Parliament sits and we're finished by 7:30, and if there's an 8 o'clock game in Footscray or Hawthorn or the Hockey Centre.
Oh, he's talking.
Yeah, you know, or if it's a 9 o'clock game, even easier. So even if I have to miss a few when I'm at home, it's often, and it's the later games that other people don't like, and the later games actually suit me. It's easier to get to. So
we're going to get on to talk about all things other than hockey, but I'm intrigued. So what's your latest game, Cindy? Is 9 o'clock the latest?
Yeah. On a midweek, it'll be 7, 8 or 9 o'clock. And so they're short. They're only 25-minute halves. Whereas the normal games are, well, we used to be 35-minute halves, but they're now 17-minute quarters. You know, I think we lose a minute. But, you know, on a Saturday you can play 6:30 on a Saturday night, 11 a.m. on a Sunday. And so for me, you know, because our club's kind of large, you've got a few different teams.
Yep.
So you can kind of, if I've got work on, you know, I've got work on, but sometimes I can play in a different grade.
Oh, can you?
Yeah, so, you know, it means that I might be able to play, but then, like, last weekend, it just wouldn't work. It just wasn't going to work last weekend, so I didn't play at all. So, you know, if I try and put my name down for Saturday, Sunday or midweek, between the two of them, I might get 18 games for the season.
Oh, that's right. Cindy, I've got to ask you this. Why over 35 do they call you, what was the word you said, not veterans?
Masters.
Masters, not so bad. But why do they consider that to be in the older age group? 35, to me, isn't an old person.
No, do you know, and it's been interesting because, and this is like even football, you know, like the super rules or the was over 35 because it was, you know, people used to sort of look at retiring those days, and then there was a group of people who were around 35 who wanted to keep playing, and so they started this competition, and a lot of those people now are probably 70, so it's been going in hockey for a really long time. You know, there's a woman I know over at Christmas Hills who's a goalie, and she, I forget how old, she's, you know, 67 or 68, and she still does the veterans and the goalie business for a different club to me, but, you know, we often chat.
True. So how many, like... Is there only two areas of polo? Is that what you're saying, like for the whole of Melbourne?
Well, it's pretty well the whole of Melbourne because, you know, Bendigo will have teams in, Geelong have teams in, Albury, Wodonga have teams in, Ballarat have teams in. So it's kind of like that statewide comp. But, say, you know, Albury might only have a couple of teams and they have their own local comp up there as well. So, you know, depending if you want to play in state league and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's
fascinating.
And in the lower grades, they have it more local, so they'll have northern suburbs, southern suburbs or western suburbs sort of thing, so you don't have to travel so far. But, you know, some grades you travel a long way. Juniors, I know, used to travel to Ballarat or to Druin.
Yeah. See, we living in Melbourne, you don't, you know, when I was going to say played football, but I mean it was a bit of a laugh, but we only played within, you know, I suppose the longest trip we would have done would have been 35 Ks. But I mean, I was talking to someone the other day and, like, his son was, I think they live in Leongatha and the son plays in Yarram. We don't realise with country sport how far the parents have to take the young people.
And I think one of the great examples of that is, I'm having a mental blank on the fast bowler, McGrath.
Yep.
You know, McGrath grew up in, Glenn McGrath grew up in Narracourt or somewhere like that. And his parents would take him 5 hours, they'd drive to get to, you know, like, boy, that's dedication. But it's not quite that far. But, you know, somebody said to me the other day, one of the netballers from Yay, they were playing down at Healesville, and she said, this is our closest game.
The closest game?
The closest game from Yay. Now, Yay's, yeah, Heels was 45 minutes from my place, so it's probably, you know, nearly an hour from Yay to get to Heels.
And that's the nearest game, so...
That's the closest game.
Goodness knows where the longest one is.
Oh, yeah, it was over at Narre Warren or somewhere.
Cindy, we'll just take a quick break and we'll be back with more.
Feeling down deep in my soul that I just can't lose. Guess I'm on my way. Needing a friend, and the way I feel now, I guess I'll be with you till the end. Guess I'm on my way. Mighty glad you stayed. I guess it's time for me to come home. Guess I'm on my way. It's so hard to see that a woman like you could wait around for a man like me. Guess I'm on.
Welcome back to Community Connections. I have with me Cindy McLeish, and we're talking about what's going on in the neighbourhood. And we started off talking about her her sport. And again, it's her birthday, and that's why we happen to get onto the sport. She's not going to be able to celebrate the night. But I guess the best celebration would be if you get a win.
Of course. It's always good to have a win first up. I'll remain very competitive.
Sounds good. Community sport, you want to have a talk about, please, Cindy?
I do. So a lot of the winter sports just starting back up at the moment, certainly football and netball. And, you know, there's been some ads on, you know, in the mainstream media about the volunteers and how a lot of sports clubs, and it doesn't matter if you're swimming, little athletics, football, netball, soccer, that there are shortages of volunteers. And so that means people helping run the club, organise the club, making sure the teams are on the field, but also working with the, with the umpiring as well. Yeah, like there's so many areas that you have volunteers. Sometimes umpires are paid, particularly in football, but there's just not enough volunteers. And that concerns me. You know, they went away during COVID and, you know, people get into different habits, different practices, and so they haven't come back.
And that's been the trouble with a number of organisations. People got used to being at home and all of a sudden don't come back in the numbers, do they? And I know that's happened with a lot of groups.
Yeah, it's happened with many, many groups, and people find, you know, other things to do. And they even talk about, like, with shopping habits, that's something that that changes, you know, like, so when they're doing level crossings or roadworks and they shut, essentially make your shopping strip really difficult to get to, they say, you know, someone only has to go to a different shop for three occasions, and then they might make that the shop that they go to rather than the ones that have just...
And they don't go back.
Yeah, they don't go back. And this is, I see similarities with what we've got with local sport. But, you know, it's not only the volunteers that are missing, you know, and like you think of little athletics, you know, you've got someone measuring the long jump and someone recording this, someone moving the high jump up and someone starting the 100-metre races. And, you know, there's lots of people that need to be involved, and parents typically are. But, you know, people can enjoy it as well. So we've just got to really have a think about re-engaging with volunteerism and giving back to the communities. But it's the teams that are struggling too with not enough numbers.
Yep. So what sort of sport are we talking about? Cindy, I guess all, but I think there are a couple around here that are struggling too, aren't they?
Well, there are. So last year we had Yay and Broadford, who were in the Outer East AFL. Or they got Yay and Broadford to run a combined team to try and get players on the field, which kind of went so-so, but it meant this year Yay haven't got a team in the football at all, but Broadford now have. But last year, down closer to where you are, Woori Alec had two netball teams. I think they did A grade and C grade, and Healesville did B grade and D grade. So they, you know, kind of combined the fixturing to work because they didn't have enough. Now, Healesville have done a lot of work to try and rebuild and to get four teams back on the court. But Woori Alec, you know, haven't been able to field teams this year. And, you know, Woori Alec have been a big, strong club, and certainly with football and a lot of history.
Yep.
They've got some great new netball courts, but it's just panned out that this year it just became too much of a challenge. And, you know, I just think that's really tough for those living in the area.
Well, it makes it hard on the young people because we're trying to get them off the computers and iPads and all that, and we want to really get them out into sport, don't we?
Yep, you want to get people out into sport. And, you know, we do have clubs at Warburton and Powelltown and Junction and, you know, Healesville. And as I said, Woori have got a good footy team, but we've got them, you know, with Wandon and Seville and Alinda Fernie Creek. You know, there's quite a lot in the area. But, you know, we've got a small pool of people to draw from, whereas, you know, some of the other clubs that are included, Narre Warren and Officer, you know, these are growth suburbs.
Yeah.
And they've got loads of, you know, they don't have one, you're not relying on the kids in your town to come through as the next generation. You've got a much bigger population for kids to come through. So, Yeah, really, it's really tough, and we do need to get kids out and about, and we're lucky here because we've got the rail trails and kids can get out on their bikes, but we need to make sure that, you know, if you play competitive sport and it's not for everybody,
yep.
but you learn how to get on with people and you've got to deal with people, so you just go for a run on your own.
Yeah, great idea.
Cindy, which is good for some people.
Cindy, we'll just take a quick break and we'll be back with more.
But now with so many words, I've got to tell you why.
Welcome back to Community Connections. I have with me Cindy McLeish, and we've been talking about various avenues of the community sport. And we'll talk to, we'll see if we can't get a couple of these leaders of the different sporting groups in, particularly the ones that are struggling, and see if we can't give them a help to get some more members, because we keep talking about getting young people off their devices and outside, and it might be a good idea for us to do something about it. Cindy, you want to talk about the Millgrove facilities?
Look, at the Yarra Valley Soccer Club, which is based in Millgrove, and the weekend we had the opening of their new pavilion, and what a cracker of a project it's been. And the Millgrove, this Soccer Club Yarra Valley, it's the only one in the Upper Yarra. There's one at Healesville, but, you know, you either go Healesville, Lilydale, and now we've got the Yarra Valley. And it's been there, I think, 20 years. But, you know, it's just gone from success to success. And so this year there's a brand-new pavilion, which was so, so, so overdue. And it's in next to the kindergarten. It's in behind the school and the church there at the back of Millgrove. And, you know, a couple of years ago the car parks were sealed, and then they had the big fences put up and the lights, and, the, you know, each year something different has happened. And the council have got behind it. The club have been, you know, doing really well, and the state government gave them some money, and you know, they've actually got real change rooms now. They've got a real canteen, and you know, there were kids in the canteen. Well, kids, the couple of young boys who might have been, I don't know, 15, 17 in there, helping out, doing the cooking and getting, you know, serving people. That was terrific. And Perry Wandon did the Welcome to Country, and Perry's got his own unique style, if anyone knows Perry. He's, you know, so we had the leaves on the pitch for a while, a smoking ceremony, and cleansed our feet to get rid of any bad spirits we might have brought with us coming from elsewhere. And but you know, it's got umpires facilities, it's got men's and women's facilities, and it's just been so overdue, because they've been operating out of some exceptionally shabby premises for a while. They've got men's and women's teams, they've got kids teams, and you know, like, it's just, it was really great.
And the sport can be a big part of small areas like that too, can't it? It can, not only does it get the young people out and about, but gets the parents to meet other parents too, doesn't it?
Oh, that's right. That's right. You know, and a lot of parents actually start taking up sport again when they take their kids along. So, you know, they go along and they watch their kids and they're like, oh, I used to play soccer, I used to play hockey, whatever, I could probably do this. You know, I can get back out on the netball court. You know, they do that, and you get a little bit of a resurgence with that. But there was loads of women, men and kids there, and, you know, I just think all kudos to the guys, and I've got to say it's run by Andrew, Andrew and Andrew. Yeah. There's Andrews everywhere. The treasurer, the president and the vice president are all Andrews.
Are they?
And easy to remember names. I didn't have to try very hard to.
And probably like all community groups, it's the same Andrews that probably do it year in, year out too.
Yeah, look, some of them were quite young. One of the guys' mum, I think she'd done a bit of a stint. The vice president, Andrew Woolley's the former president, and his mum was there. But, you know, there was Naomi in the canteen with those couple of young boys. But, you know, like, people can help out. You don't have to be the best umpire, but, you know, having somebody who just helps out on the sidelines, you know, getting things organised. So it was one of Steve was managing things, getting it organised. So, like, it was just it was terrific, and I'm so thrilled for the club, because it's been a long time coming. As I said, they've been there 20 years. The pitches looked great. There's two pitches and the fences, so no, the neighbours can't complain. It's in and hidden away a little bit, and good car parking. So, you know, fabulous job to the Yarra Valley Soccer Club.
Terrific. Cindy, while we're just talking up that way, I guess I'd just like to get you perhaps to promote Warburton, because we're running an ad at the moment that a highway is going to be shut for a while, isn't it? And we're, I guess the merchants up there, the shops, are probably getting worried that what you said before, that people might just go elsewhere. So I'd like to give a shout out and maybe get you to say
huge
something.
Huge shout out
about
to Warby.
Yeah, but not only that, for people to keep going back.
Absolutely. What a great place to visit. And it looks spectacular at the moment. And, in fact, I saw it on postcards the other night.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I wasn't watching the TV. It must have come on after the footy or something. No, it's a different channel. But anyway, you know, Jeff called out, quick, Warburton's on. And Cleo, who's got the coffee place, Cleo's, Silver's. Right. Down there, she's chair of the Economic Development Association, CEDA, and she's, you know, a young woman with some great vision and ideas. Yep. And there is a lot to do. Richard, who's got one of the adventure, you know, throw your tube in the water, but he's got the motel there. There's a couple of them, you know, with different businesses, and it's a great place to visit. But everybody knows the highway has been like a disaster since the middle of October, I think it was. When it sunk, and you've only had one lane in and one lane out. And I know for Vic Roads, and they had a community meeting, there's got to have been 150 people at the community meeting a couple of weeks ago.
Yep.
Because everyone knows it's a big job to fix the road where it's sunk. It's right on a bend. It's the next to the river. And I think when they first had a look and their initial plans about how they were going to fix it, it became evident that that's not going to be easy.
Yeah.
And as it is now, so they reckon they can do it in 2 weeks, weather permitting.
Yep.
And the old Warburton Road is a detour. Now, that's not equipped for loads of traffic at all. But, you know, there's been a real issue with getting school buses because the school buses aren't suitable. The old Warburton Road can only take a certain amount of traffic. And so you get issues with supply for the supermarkets and the shops, how they get their goods supplied, because we want people to still come to Warburton. The old Warburton, you know, is it the old Warburton Road's not a bad drive. It's a nice drive, but it's not suitable for, I think, vehicles beyond several metres. I have, for some reason, 5.2 sticking in my head. Right. But they've had to get minibuses, and the local bus companies can't have minibuses, so they've had to go outside to get minibuses to get the kids to school. And like, it's a bit of a saga.
It's a big job, isn't it, compared to, you just think, oh, well, they rip the road up and send you around a detour, but it's not that easy, is it?
No, it's not that easy, and people know that and understand that, but it's still really difficult. And as you say, for shopkeepers, and Warburton's still open.
Yep.
And I know Jeff and his mates were playing, were playing there, I don't know if it's tomorrow or next week, they're playing golf there. And he said, is the road open? I said, it's going to be closed. And he said, you've got to allow a bit of extra time and go the old way. But, you know, I'd carpool as well because, you know, we need to be sensible. But we need to remember that, you know, there's a lot of great things to do in and around Warburton.
And the shops are still open.
The shops are still open. You know, the businesses are still running. There's some great places. Oh, it was a Riverview Cafe that got a plug on postcards as well.
Oh, good.
And, you know, the cafes are great. The food's great. The views are great. The river walks are terrific. You know, there's still stuff to do, bridges to walk across. So, yeah, please, I know it's difficult if you live in Junction and you think you might duck up to Warburton and you've got the old road to go over, but we've really got to, you know, give the shop some additional support at the moment.
Absolutely. But, Cindy, we'll take a quick break and then we'll come back.
Sure.
I'd like to talk to you about Anzac Day. was Fiona Innes. She's an Irish lady, and A Rose Has to Die. And we're talking to Cindy McLeish. Cindy, now, we've just had yesterday Anzac Day, and I guess, you'd have been invited to so many Anzac Day services you couldn't have possibly got to them all. But also, Cindy, tell us a little bit about some of the services that were available for those.
Oh, look, do you know, it's interesting. Everywhere, well, the dawn services actually are really picking up in a number of areas. And I know it doesn't matter where you are. You know, Mary Jig, I think I might have mentioned before, they have dawn service where half the crowd turns up on horseback.
Yeah, and rides, terrific, yeah. Is it?
Oh, it's brilliant. Rides at daylight, at daybreak. They meet at the pub. At daybreak, they ride off to the cenotaph. You know, they have... One like and you know, Mansfield and Yay don't, but Alexandra I think did. Hillsville do, Upper Yarra, Millgrove. You know, there's lots of dawn services all around.
Yep.
And then you typically, some of them have a 9 o'clock, some of them have 11 o'clock, 10:30, 11 o'clock. The hospitals, the aged care facilities often have the services too, because you know, a lot of those people in aged care now have grown up.
Yeah.
With and knowing people, they would have known a lot of people who, you know, when they were kids, who'd certainly fought in the wars as well. So yesterday I had intended to do Mary Jig, Dawn and then Mansfield, but the Yay Cenotaph was 100 years old.
Oh, right.
So I went to Mansfield for Dawn and then the Yay Hospital and then Yay. And Yay's my hometown, and because it's, you know, 100 years. But, you know, it's interesting, just we had a talk, somebody gave a talk about the cenotaph and how it was established and what happened 100 years ago and how it got off the ground. And I think it, the initial quotes were £700.
Gee, yeah.
And the invoice was for £650, but at some point they were a couple of hundred pounds short. But the government didn't pay, the council shire didn't pay, it was all paid for by community members, and they decided on the cenotaph and they decided on the wording and the whole history. Now, you know, most of our towns have got a cenotaph, and that would have been, you know, this happening everywhere. So for what was 2023, and given that the war finished in 2018, it took 1918. You know, it took a while for the communities to work out what do we do, how do we remember those who didn't come home.
And they deserve to be remembered.
And this is right. This is what people wanted to make sure, you know, that they should be remembered. And when they were open, you know, it was talking about the families and having somewhere that they can remember. And so future generations are reminded of it. And then it wasn't that long after we had the Second World War and then, you know, names were commemorated. And it wasn't just cenotaphs that were established. It was in memorial hospitals or pools, you know, the Hillsville Hospital or, you know, different swimming pools here and there or the hall. So, that, you know, we've got the memo in Hillsville was the Hillsville Memorial Hall, and Yarra Glen has memorial. And these were set up in recognition of those that had gone, the young, typically the young men, some young women, that the young men had been...
And didn't come up. And some come up. Cindy, I've just got to say that something that you just shot up over pretty quickly there, but as an MP, like where I live down away from here, the local MP's probably only got about, you know, 20 or 30. But you're talking about being at Mansfield at one and the next commitment is at Yay. So we're talking about 60 or 70 K. So, I mean, you really get around, don't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But we're very organised. So what we have is my staff keep a list of where I went for Anzac Day. So, like, we've got to get a list, first of all, of where all of the ones are. Yep. And I've got four shires, you know, with Nillumbik, Yarra Ranges, Murrindindi and Mansfield.
And they're a long way apart.
They're a long way apart, so I have to choose. So I was in the north this year, so, you know, I'll likely be somewhere south next year, you know. Like, it's just, I was having a look. We just make sure that we know, because if I've been to somewhere for Remembrance Day,
yep,
you know, and you can only go one. There's only 11 o'clock, 11 o'clock on the 11th yep. of yep. November.
You can't be everywhere.
I only do one that day. But on a good day... Yep. A good day, I can do three yeah. then, on Anzac Day.
And then so, I guess, oh, sorry, I don't want to cut across you, but while you still talk about Anzac Day, I guess there are some of the schools that have them, you know, a few days later too, don't they?
Well, this is right. So tomorrow I'm going to Kinglake Central, and they've got, they do a lovely student-led service. Right. So that's tomorrow. On Saturday last, just passed, at the netball, at Healesville, the RSL came along, and at the start of the main game of netball, about quarter to two. And so I was able to go to that because I was coming back from Millgrove. They were having that surf service and they wanted me to look at the netball courts at Healesville because they're completely dodgy at the moment.
Right.
But and then the Upper Yarra RSL, in another week or so, they bring all of the primary schools together, the Catholic schools, they bring all of them together and they all do something a little bit different out at the Upper Yarra RSL. So, yeah, it's great. It's one of my favourite events. You know, right. When I've got a few things on that day and I'll say to my staff, no, I really love that event. It's great to see the kids actively involved.
And we want to encourage young people to get more involved in Anzac Day too, don't we?
Oh, look, absolutely, absolutely. So, and there's different ways to do it, and they do it really quite well.
Oh, terrific. Cindy, I need to take another quick break, and sure. Then we'll be back with more.
There's a light, a certain kind of light.
Of course, that was a great Johnny O'Keefe and To Love Somebody. And I should mention I'll be on Sunday between 12 and 3 with Music Memories and More. We'll be playing all the great hits for the 50s and 60s. And then I'll be back between 6 and 8 on Sunday night again and we'll be playing hits from the 50s and 60s. So 5 hours of great rock and roll, particularly out of the 50s and 60s, this Sunday. But anyway, we're talking to Cindy McLeish, our local MP. Cindy, you'd like to talk a little about burglaries. There's been a few of them going on.
Well, there has, but I might just jump in there and just talk about the rock and roll for a minute, Alan. I'm not sure, but the Powley pub used to have rock and roll nights down there, so you want to scoot down to Powltown and get down to the pub and have a chat.
sounds good to me. yep, so Cindy, burglaries.
Yeah, look, on a serious note, that you know, petty crime continues to exist, and often, you know, it might only be one or two groups or people that are doing it, but they can make a fair bit of damage, you know, in the one burst. And I know it was a few years ago we had all the way from Wallen to Bonnie Doon a couple of times from that road, they on the road at various points, you know, they rolled different places. And, you know, it's very disconcerting for the shopkeepers. I know sometimes that they'll live behind or above the premises.
Yep.
And in that instance where we had quite a lot, even some at Yarra Glen, I don't know if that was the same person, but, you know, it was a family. And imagine saying to, you know, mum, dad and the two 16, 17-year-old kids, let's go and, you know, go out all night and, you know, roll some businesses and things like that. But
that's shocking.
It is shocking. And there's certainly been locally in Healesville a few weeks ago that we had a number of premises that were broken into. And, you know, a lot of people will have certain, you know, different levels of security, but, you know, you can't do everything and you can't get everybody and you can't be completely secure always. And I know in one other town, the somebody had a very good security system installed, their own security system, and the power in the town went out, and within half an hour that business was robbed.
So they're just sitting back waiting almost, aren't they?
Yeah, you know, so there's some bad eggs out there, Alan, and I know that the businesses, quite a few of them in Healesville in the main street, it was probably maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago now, you know, suffered, and it's scary for them. You know, it's really scary for them. It's happened. Will it happen again? And it's not always, yes, they've lost stock and that's bad enough as well, but...
Well, it's a feeling of being somebody being in your place too that shouldn't
be, right.
that really, really sort of shakes people up, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And so I do know that the Healesville Police and the wider police out at Lilydale are, you know, taking obviously these sorts of things very seriously. I think stock theft's down a little bit at the minute, but in some areas it's greater than others. We've had our fair share of stock theft, you know, in and around this area.
Yep.
But, you know, most recently it's been shops a few years ago, you know, like a number of Yarra Glen businesses got targeted and it was pretty bad actually. The bakery was in the middle of the night, 3 o'clock maybe, and half the bakers were already there to cook. And, you know, they had them down at gunpoint and, put the money in plastic bags. And, I mean, I guess there's less cash around these days, but, you know, these people weren't very clever because they put it in a plastic bag and they were walking up the street of Yarra Glen and there must have been a fair bit of coin in it, maybe ones and $2 coins, and the bag broke and they squandered.
They're not all geniuses, are they?
But, you know, I often get the police coming in to say, you know, we've got security cameras here at the front and the back, and the police will often come and have a look at the video footage and see, you know, if that can help them work it out. But, you know, like it's not great for the shopkeepers. It's, you know, really, really difficult. And as you said, invading your space.
And it's also, I mean, some of these shopkeepers have done it very hard through COVID, then all of a sudden to get broken into again, and insurance doesn't always cover everything either. People are underinsured and all sorts of problems, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's the same to be said with graffiti.
Yep.
You know, like if you've a house or a shop, you've got your fence, and, you know, some people just seem to be painting over and painting over and painting over the graffiti.
And it's not artists, is it? It's not artistry, really. It's just
no, when you're just throwing tags out there or writing obscenities, that's not art, you know.
No.
I look at some of the other, you know, in places, well, even in the city, you know, like they have the lanes where I think one time they just painted it all light blue and said to the artists, have you go again? And people come and take photos of that all the time. You know, I walk past it when I'm in Parliament, walking to and from, and there's always people there taking photos. And that is the art.
Yeah, that's art.
When you're just recklessly putting stuff all over the place. And it demeans the town, you know, like people feel they want pride in their town.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, if you've got graffiti everywhere, it just bothers everybody. And,
it's not good.
You know, again, I know that the police do take it seriously, but it's something that we all need to be mindful of if you see people out there with spray cans or those big texters and things like that.
And I guess the other thing is too, which we should mention when we talk about burglaries, if you're out particularly late at night and you see people... Not a lot of good stuff happens after midnight if people are walking around, are they? You should, if you think there's a problem, you should ring 000 and get the police out. If it's not right, no one's going to be hurt. But
that's right. And the police are patrolling.
Yep.
You know, it sometimes depends. They could be called further away.
Yep.
But the police are out and about. And even if they're not 24-hour police stations, and I don't have a 24-hour police station, and I doubt that would happen. You know, we do have Lilydale and I think Eltham's 24, but probably Moorabbin too. But they're not, they're because they're moving around and they, you know, in this area, and the police here mix it up. They don't finish at 10 o'clock at night and that's it and packed up and gone. They mix it up so they finish, you know, start and finish at different times so that they could try and have that presence as best they can around the clock. And, you know, they certainly need support. So if you see something, You can ring.
All right. We'll just take a quick break and we'll be back with more and we'll wind it up, Cindy. We'll be back very quickly. Welcome back to Community Connections, and I have with me Cindy McLeish, our local MP. Cindy, you'd like to just briefly mention about the Box Hill Hospital.
That's right. I had a bit of a tour there the other day. The CEO invited me to have a look at the facilities to see, you know, what's happening down there, and I was able to go into intensive care and the...
As long as you walked in and walked out.
And, you know, the intensive care, I did just walk in and walk out. And, you know, seeing where it's future-proofed, where they've got more space at the moment that they need, you know, went on to the cancer wards and had a look at some of the stuff. But we also had an opportunity to chat briefly about the Healesville Hospital, and you know, it's got full beds at the moment, which is good. Apparently, they say it's always got full beds, and dialysis is really full. But perhaps the theatres were running every day, but they haven't been in the last month or so. And you know, we really need to make sure that we keep the theatre operations locally. People, if they've got to have something serious done, you know, they like to come back to Healesville and recover, and it's good that they can do that. But I was really appreciative to be able to go down and tour the facility.
Yeah, and when you hear some stories of people being overseas, and I was talking to somebody only the other day, and some of the facilities overseas are just nothing compared to what we've got here, are they?
Oh, look, that's true, but at the same time, you know, Maroondah's going to get an upgrade because it desperately needs that. You know, the Alfred and Royal Melbourne are a bit dodgy as well in terms of not treatment, but just in terms of facilities these days. And before we wind up, Alan, I want to congratulate you on your retirement of 26 years on the Dandenong High School School Board. Like, that's extraordinary level of volunteerism. And I know that the school are poorer for it. I know you've had me down there at the school, and it's got a beautiful old building and a different model of education now. And congratulations on your role with that school over a very long period of time.
Thanks very much, Cindy. On that note, I've got to go. Look forward to seeing you next month, the fourth Wednesday of the month between 1 and 2, and have a great birthday for the rest of the day, Cindy.
Thanks, Alan. Bye.
Thanks very much. Bye.